no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin this week with a story from Escape. We'll hear Treasure Incorporated, their story from January 24th, 1950. After that, it's Big Town and Death at the Wheel, their episode from February 8th, 1949.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape! Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, we escape to a lush tropical island in the Caribbean, a paradise lost through the overpowering greed of a lovely woman and a dangerous man, as John and Gwen Bagney tell it in their exciting tale, Treasure Incorporated.
Well, are you coming?
Huh?
You're coming with me, or aren't you?
What for?
I feel lucky. Got a feeling today is going to be the day.
You said that for months. Why don't you leave me alone?
She turned away and stared out the window at the jungle. Her face was a dissatisfied mask. She had on that old faded red beach dress. She wore it all the time now. And a sloppy pair of slippers. Her hair was pulled back off her neck with a piece of string, matted. And that wry, crisp figure she'd once had was going fast.
He's up there.
Sure, he's up there. He's always up there.
I'm not going with you.
All right. Stay. Stay, I don't care. You're no help to me anymore.
And it won't do you any good to go, either. Burn yourself up in this tropic sun, and for what? Not while he's up there watching. Always watching.
Who are you trying to kid? You know you'll sneak up there to see him the minute I'm gone. And he'll just kick you out again.
Shut up.
Look at yourself. Not even good enough for that beachcomber.
Shut up. Shut up!
That was Amanda. And I'd once thought her beautiful. And I'd thought this island was beautiful. A paradise. It seemed a million years ago when I first told Brewer about it.
All right, Eddie. So you found a pretty island in the West Indies. Now
what? Oh, you should see the island, Brewer. More than a square mile of tropical paradise, just as nature made it. Complete with native village and volcano. With enough money, I can get a 25-year lease. I've got it all figured out, Brewer. I can make it the best-paying resort in the Caribbean.
Oh, I don't know, Eddie. There's so many resorts. What do you think, Amanda?
It sounds intriguing. Why not, Paul?
Believe me, it's sure fire with a gimmick like mine.
Gimmick?
Buried pirate treasure. How do you like that for tourist bait?
Eddie, I'm afraid you're dreaming. There's never any treasure in those places.
Oh, I know that. That's what makes my gimmick so good. I'm going to bury the treasure myself.
You are?
Oh, sure, nothing too valuable. Just bait, you understand? You know, old Spanish coins, pieces of eight, daggers, bits of old sea chests.
Can you get that sort of thing?
Oh, I can get it. I know a guy who handles antiques. He can get it for me. Well, what do you think of it? Is that a gimmick or is that a gimmick?
Eddie, you're a genius.
You like it, Brewer?
Well, it sounds good, but I'd have to think about it. How about a drink?
Okay.
I'll fix this one. Scotch all right?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. Think you'll go for it, Amanda?
You'll go for it.
You sure? You didn't sound so positive.
Relax, Eddie. Don't worry so much. I'll get your island for you.
Not for me, baby. For us.
Eddie, take it easy. Remember, I still belong to Brewer.
That's Amanda, the kind of a woman that always gets what she wants. She got me my island. I started planning the resort. Brewer was to supply the money, and I was to be the front man. It was a great plan. It couldn't miss. But I'd figured without Clive. I'll never forget the first time I saw Clive, the only white man on the island. He was bald, but he was young. He had a blonde beard. He was sitting in a tangle of jungle wearing nothing but a pair of white ducks ripped off at the knee and some binoculars slung about his neck with a length of vine. He was painting a seascape. Hiya, Gillespie's the name, Eddie Gillespie. I've been looking over the island.
I know. I've been watching you.
Terrific place. Say, that volcano, any chance of it erupting?
No, it's dead. Dead many years.
Well, that's a relief. Say, I'm sure surprised to find a white man here.
You are? Why?
Well, so far away from civilization, nothing to do.
And then what are you doing here?
Me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this island on the map.
Really?
Yep. See that beat-up building down there by the beach?
That once was a fine old plantation house.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn it into a swanky hotel.
Hotel?
Sure, perfect spot for it with all those palm trees around it. And a golf course sweeping up over that hill. Of course, we'll have to clean all those dirty vines out. That dock is a pretty sick-looking thing, but the harbors are natural. What are you looking at through the binoculars?
Devil's Cove.
Why? What's going on down there?
Nothing. I'm painting it.
Through binoculars? Why don't you walk down there if you want to paint it?
I prefer it this way.
That's the tropics for you. How lazy can you get?
Mr. Gillespie, after you've been here a while, you'll learn to go with the island, not try to change it.
Oh, you just wait and see. When I get through with this place, I'll make Nassau and Jamaica look like Rockaway Beach. Incidentally, those natives, they dress that way all the time in those faded old rags.
You don't like it?
Well, you gotta keep it quaint, you know, as advertised. Gotta give the tourists dollar value. We'll fix up the natives with bandanas and bright sashes, necklaces of coral, big earrings, baskets of fruit on their heads. Of course, they'll have to quit wearing those shoes.
How about rings through their noses and a bone in their hair?
You know, I get the feeling you're not going to be very cooperative.
It took me years to find a place that was remote from the world, and now that I have, I don't want it destroyed.
Destroyed? Why, man, you're crazy. I'm going to do things for this island. I'll have this place humming in no time, and I'll... What's the matter? Don't you think I can do it?
No, I don't, and I'll tell you why. Through the centuries, 6 flags have flown over this island, and each flag brought colonization and industry. Sugar, rum, the leaves of the bay tree. But not one of them could survive. Not one of them could hold back nature. The winds, the damp rot, the jungle, the vines that creep constantly day and night ensnaring everything they touch. They couldn't do it, Mr. Gillespie, and neither can you or your hotel.
No. You just watch me.
I will. But if I thought you had one chance in a million to succeed, do you know what I'd do?
What?
I'd kill you.
In the beginning, he stayed up on top of that hill of his like he owned the world. He ignored me completely until my tractors and bulldozers went to work. Then he began to come down more and more. I never heard him coming, and yet he always seemed to be around. And as I ran into trouble, wind, rain, rot, rats, I had to fight them all. It seemed to amuse him to watch me.
Is your paradise fighting your back, Mr. Gillespie?
Why don't you go up on your hill and stay there?
What a beautiful swimming pool. A symbol of civilization. Do you expect it to last?
Why, of course it'll last. Why don't you leave me alone?
Be careful. It's bad to lose one's temper. The heat, you know.
Yes, heat. Always heat. But I wouldn't give in to it. I drove myself. I drove everybody who worked for me.
Come on, boys. We got 2 more hours of daylight. Get those vines out.
They do grow, don't they?
What do you want?
I like to watch you fight them. It's such a useless task. They'll grow over you in the end, you know.
Yeah? Well, I'll civilize this island. I'll show you. Go on and laugh all you want, but you'll see. When Eddie Gillespie starts something, he finishes it. Before the summer was over, we cleaned away all the vines and seeded the golf course. We dynamited the harbor, rebuilt the docks, working 18 hours a day. And then one afternoon, just before the hotel was finished, she arrived. I just knocked off for the day, and I was sprawling in my hammock in front of my hut.
Hello, Eddie.
Amanda. What are you doing here? You weren't supposed to come until the hotel was open.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Where's Brewer? How did you get here?
In a launch.
All the way from New York?
Of course not. We've been anchored at Charlotte Amelia for a week.
You didn't break with Brewer, did you? I told you not to break with him until after the hotel was finished.
Don't get excited, Eddie. Brewer doesn't even know I'm here. He left this morning for Puerto Rico on a big deal.
Oh.
You haven't said you're glad to see me.
I've forgotten. It's been so long, I'd forgotten how beautiful you are.
Eddie.
Look, Amanda, you better go back if Brewer finds out that you've been
What's the matter, Eddie? Are you afraid of Brewer?
Of course I'm not afraid, but use your head. He financed my island. I'm going to take his girl away from him. Until I get on my feet here, let's keep everything on the up and up. What's so funny?
You and Brewer.
What about Brewer?
I was thinking of Brewer keeping everything on the up and up on his side. Look, Eddie, why do you think he set you up on this island? Because he wanted to own a hotel? A resort?
What do you mean? It was an investment.
I'll say it was.
Well, if you've got a point, Amanda, get to it.
I will. Treasure. That's the point. $1 million worth of buried treasure.
$1 million? You're crazy. That stuff isn't worth anything.
I'm talking about a real treasure. The diamonds and emeralds and the pearls. The treasure Brewer is going to dig up.
You mean there's $1 million worth of stuff buried on this island?
Not yet. But there will be after Brewer buries it.
That doesn't make sense. Why would he do a thing like that?
Oh, it makes sense. Brewer always makes sense. You know what he did? He bought a huge lot of stolen jewelry from an international fence. The pieces were so identifiable and so hot he was able to buy it for a song. But he couldn't get rid of it. Then you came along. Eddie Gillespie with his little island and his buried treasure gimmick.
Wait a minute. He told you this?
I was with him. We were on the yacht not far off the Azores when we made rendezvous with another boat and took the jewels aboard. And now Brewer's in Puerto Rico having the stones taken out of their settings. And when the time comes, he's going to dig them up out of your island in a moldy old sea chest in front of witnesses. Got every angle covered. All legitimate.
So what?
Aren't you interested?
Well, if that's what he wants to do, that's his business. I've got the island, and I'll have you.
Will you?
Amanda, what's the matter with you? What's eating you?
$1 million. I want it, Eddie. If you really want me to break with Brewer, you'll get it.
What kind of talk is that? I thought you loved me.
I do, Eddie. That's the point. I want us to have the money.
But we'll have each other.
That's not enough, Eddie. I want that million.
I got a good mind that...
What, Eddie?
Shh, shh. There's someone on the brush. Who's there? Who is it?
Good evening.
Clive, what are you doing here? You're always sneaking around.
You're getting angry again.
Get out of here. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking how much trouble can be caused by $1 million.
In just a moment, we will return to Escape. But first, it's a long time between fun on the weekends, but it's a lot shorter if you find the midweek fun that's here on most of these same CBS stations every Wednesday night. Midweek fun with Groucho Marx, Bing Crosby, and Burns and Allen in 1-2-3 order. Try listening to them all every Wednesday night. Groucho, Bing, and George and Gracie. And you'll find the week speeding by much more merrily. And now we return you to the second act of Escape.
She went back, and I was left to finish the hotel. But the whole thing had soured for me. All my enthusiasm for the project was gone. But I buried the tourist bait, the pirate treasure. I scattered the pieces of eight, the rusted hinges, all the old relics over the island as per plan. And then I was open for business, and the tourists began to pour in. A change came over Clive. Now he set up his easel down by the dock, and he was gay and gregarious, and I trusted him less and less. He was up to something. And what galled me, the tourists were crazy about him.
Whatever made you become a beachcomber, Clive?
Women. Beautiful women like yourself. They drove me to it.
Oh, Clive, I don't believe a word you're saying, but it's fun. Whenever did you get him, Mr. Gillespie? He's priceless.
Clive, why...
I came with the island, standard equipment, along with the volcano and the treasure.
Is there really treasure on the island?
Well, you found a piece of an old saber yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, and my husband found a golden sovereign, but I mean real treasure. Chests full of gold.
Look for it, Mrs. Chapman. Every cove, every bay. It could be anywhere, on the mountain, in the jungle... Legend says that Captain Kidd himself stopped here, loaded with treasure from the Spanish Main. He slew all the Caribs, every single one, buried his loot, and sailed away. And, as legend has it, he never came back.
Just think of finding it.
Then dig, Mrs. Chapman, dig. Take one of our donkeys and a pick and shovel and go out on the trail.
Oh, I will. I'm going again this morning. Mr. Gillespie, I'm simply mad about your island.
Thank you. Cynthia, darling.
Oh, there's my husband. Oh, here I am, Fred.
Come along, dear.
Oh, see you boys later.
Aren't you overdoing it?
I'm just being helpful. Adding local color.
All that stuff about a legend. You didn't talk that way when I first came here.
Things are different now. By the way, when is your pirate coming?
Pirate?
Brewer, I think you called him.
It was 2 days later that Brewer and Amanda arrived. I was on the veranda watching as the seaplane settled on the water. I watched them walk up to the hotel. Oh, yes. Clive was on the dock painting. He watched them, too.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Eddie.
Hi.
Good to see you, Eddie. You've done a great job with the hotel.
Paradise. That's the name for it, all right.
It's the best investment I ever made, Eddie. Well, I even read about your island in the New York papers. You got a big spread about tourists finding old pieces of eight in an old sea chest. Oh, that was positive inspiration, Eddie.
Wasn't it?
What's the matter? Don't you feel well? You look tired. You've been working too hard. Come on up to the room. We'll have a drink.
He was so charming and so relaxed, I began to wonder if Amanda had told me the truth. For the next week or so, I watched him all the time. But he was just a guy on vacation having a whale of a good time.
Look at him. The life of the party.
Come on outside. I want to talk to you. You know, I think you lied to me. I don't think there is any treasure.
Don't be a fool. Of course there is.
And when is he going to bury it?
I don't know. We'll just have to wait.
If I find out that you lied...
Eddie, you don't believe I...
Maybe you're trying to pull some kind of a double cross on me.
Let's go back, Eddie.
Well, this is the hard way to get X.
I think you sound beautiful.
Well, you want exercise? Why don't you come out and dig with us, Brewer?
I will one of these days.
Oh, that's what you've been saying all week. Look at my waistline. I've taken off an inch.
Why don't you come tomorrow, Mr. Brewer? It's lots of fun.
I like to sleep in the morning.
Oh, come on.
Sure, come on. Be a sport.
Okay, I'll dig with you tomorrow morning. Who knows? I might be lucky.
Tomorrow morning? Eddie, that means he'll have to bury it tonight.
Yeah.
You'll have to watch him. Don't let him out of your sight.
I waited outside until every window was dark, until the hotel was quiet. I waited and waited, but he didn't come. And still I waited until...
Still up, Eddie?
Clive!
You might as well get your sleep. He isn't going to bury the treasure tonight.
What do you mean? How do you know?
Because he's already buried it.
Well, you're crazy. He couldn't have. I've watched him constantly.
Apparently not close enough. What about the hour just before dinner when you and the girl were on the other side of the volcano?
Where did he bury it? Tell me.
In Devil's Cove.
Devil's Cove?
Oh, there's no point in your going there now. You don't think I'd leave it there, do you? I dug it up.
I know I couldn't trust you. All that talk about getting away from civilization, you know better than anybody else.
Oh, I'm not going to keep the jewels. What would I do with money?
Yeah? Then where are they?
I buried them again.
You what?
You ought to thank me. I'm making an honest man out of you, Eddie. You advertised buried treasure on your island. Well, now you have it. Like you said, gotta give the tourist dollar value.
Why?
Just think, tomorrow or the day after, or next month, one of your tourists will dig it up. As advertised.
Clive, look, don't do this to me. If you don't want the jewels, just tell me where they are. I'll give you anything, only just tell me.
And miss all the fun? Oh, no.
Morning, Eddie.
Good morning.
Great day, isn't it? You coming out of the diggings with us?
No, Brewer, I've got some work to do here.
Say, you look tired, Eddie. You work too hard. You ought to take it easy. Have some fun. Relax.
Relax? I wondered how relaxed he'd be when all he dug up was dirt. I watched him go off down the trail with the other guests. I tried to concentrate on my work. The hotel was quiet. Everyone was at the diggings, but I couldn't think. I was checking supplies in the wine cellar when Amanda came back.
You should have been there, Eddie. Oh, you should have seen his face when he found it was gone. Where'd you put it, Eddie?
I haven't got it.
Of course you have.
I told you I don't have it.
What are you trying to do? Double-cross me?
Brewer!
Paul,
I'll take care of you later, Amanda.
But, Paul, he forced me to tell him.
She's lying.
All right, Eddie. Where is
it? I don't know.
Come on, Eddie, talk.
I haven't got it, I tell you. Clive took it.
Clive, who's that?
Clive, the beachcomber. He saw you bury it, he dug it up and buried it again.
Nobody saw me bury it except maybe you.
Wait a minute, will you? I tell you, it's true.
Talk. Where'd you put it? Talk. Talk.
It's no use. I haven't got it.
You'll tell me the truth if I have to beat you.
Amanda.
I had to do it.
He killed it.
Don't worry, everyone's at the diggings. No one could have heard it. Oh, Eddie, your face.
What'll we do with him?
Well, when everyone's asleep, we'll get rid of him. I'm glad I killed him, Eddie. Now it all belongs to us.
I haven't got it.
You mean you were telling the truth about that beachcomber?
Yeah, he moved it. He buried it some other place because he wants one of the tourists to find it. It's part of his plan to get even with me.
We can't let anyone else find it, Eddie. We've got to do something.
Oh, my head.
Eddie, listen to me. We've got to get rid of the tourists.
Yeah. Gotta get rid of them, every one of them. We waited until siesta, when all the guests would be asleep in their rooms. Then we went to the construction shed for the dynamite that was left over from blasting the harbor. We loaded it and Brewer onto a donkey and went up the back trail to the volcano crater. I pushed Brewer into the crater, planted the dynamite inside the top edge. Amanda strung the wire down the slope to a cave on the east side of the island. I went down to the cave. My island was asleep. I had my hand on the plunger. I was ready to throw it, and then I realized fully what I was about to do. With one gesture, I'd be destroying everything I'd worked so hard for.
Eddie, what's the matter?
I can't do it.
Give it to me.
No, Amanda, no! I sat on the side of the mountain and watched the island become alive with frantic, frightened people. They streamed out of the hotel, half-dressed, clutching their belongings. They tripped over one another in their frenzy to get to their boats, terrified of a dead volcano. Our threatened eruption was a complete success. By nightfall, there wasn't a tourist on the island. Even the natives had scurried away in their canoes like so many frightened rats. And there were just the three of us left, Amanda, Clive, and me.
How will we get the treasure? We can't dig up the whole island.
We won't have to. Any man that's got that much loot stashed away will dig it up himself. You can't tell me money doesn't mean anything to him. We'll wait. And we did. We waited and got on each other's nerves. We waited until we couldn't stand it anymore. But Clive didn't make a move to dig it up. It was clear he'd never go near it as long as we were there. Our only escape was to dig. We started in systematically on the east side of the island, then the north, in the rain, in the wind, in the boiling sun.
This was heat. I can't take it anymore, Eddie. I'm tired.
I never thought I'd hear you say that. This was all your idea, don't forget.
I don't care, Eddie. Why don't you give it up? Get away from here.
What? Go and let him have it all now. So that's what you want, is it? It's Clive now, huh? You and Clive. Well, you won't get your treasure that way. I'm staying and I'm going to dig without you. I'm going to dig until I drop. It was hot. It was always hot. My eyes ached from the glare of the sun, but I forced myself to keep going. For days, I'd been digging near the old sugar mill. But today I had a feeling I'd be lucky. My pick hit something hard. I dropped to my knees and furiously began to claw the dirt with my hands. But it was only rock, a big rock. I moved it aside, and there it was. A pearl. One single pearl framed by the fresh imprint of a sea chest. And then I heard him from a long way off. Clive, and he was laughing at me. He was watching me through those binoculars of his, and he was laughing at me. And suddenly I knew what his game was. That's why I hadn't found the treasure in all this time, because he'd kept moving it. And he'd left a pearl behind this time to tell me he'd done it. I knew then what I had to do. I had to kill him. I went up the hill by the back trail. And just at the top, I stopped and took a firmer grip on my pick. Clive's back was to me. He was sitting exactly the way he had been the first time I saw him, in a tangle of vines painting through binoculars. I crept up to him. I raised my pick and brought it down with all my strength. But it was too late. He'd sensed me and ducked the blow. The pick had ripped through the canvas. In fury, I raised to strike it again, and my hands froze in midair as I stared at the torn canvas. It was a picture of me. And the pick had pierced my chest. Me, holding a pearl in my hand, and the look on the face he'd painted was horrible. The pick slid out of my hands.
Here's your pick, Eddie. Take it. You'll need it. Take it, Eddie, and dig. And by the way, I had to kick Amanda out again today. Keep her home, will you?
That was months ago. How many months? I've lost count. The jungle has claimed the island again, just like he said it would. The damp rot, the hurricanes, the vines. The hotel sags on its timbers, and the big front door is gone. The last wind took most of the roof. And there are bougainvillea roots growing up through the cracks in the swimming pool. The jungle has claimed Amanda, too. She's lost interest in everything. Except Clive, and he won't have her. She doesn't care about the treasure anymore. She won't dig. But not me. The jungle's not going to get me. Nothing is going to stop Eddie Gillespie. Every day I dig. Once in a while I hear him up on top of the hill laughing. And I know he's moved it again. But someday I'll beat him to it. Someday I'll find it. Yeah, someday.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Tonight we have presented Treasure Incorporated by John and Gwen Bagney. Featured in the cast were Frank Lovejoy as Eddie, John Hoyt as Clive, Mary Lansing as Amanda, and Harry Bartell as Brewer. Also heard were Eileen Prince and Paul Frees. Special music was arranged and conducted by Del Castillo. Next week...
You are sitting in a cheerless gray cell, staring at the rain through the small barred window above your head, and struggling desperately to keep your sanity. For in 12 hours, you must die or escape.
Next week, we escape with James Poe's seething tale of blasphemous terror and violent death. Present tense, starring Vincent Price. Goodbye, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. It's no joke when an accident happens to you, and an accident can happen to you. This winter, take time to be careful. Whether you're driving or walking in traffic, be cautious. Cross streets with care. Drive safely. Keep your wits and windshield clear. In traffic, walking, or driving, be careful. Be sure to join us at this same time next week when we offer you Escape, starring Vincent Price. And now stay tuned for Pursuit, which follows immediately over most of these same CBS stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, present Big Town.
Extra, extra! Here's Steve Wilson in Story of Reckless Driving, captioned Death at the Wheel. Extra, extra!
Yes, Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, are proud to present Big Town. The story of fighting editor Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press, whose newspaper creed stands for freedom and justice against the forces of intolerance and evil.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword, that it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you have just heard is the sound of the average man's atom bomb. It kills more people in America than died at Hiroshima. It is the thing most likely to maim or kill you or yours. Not you? Then listen to this Big Town story of Bill Smith, a reasonably good driver, but careless. Just careless. Absent-minded at times.
Merrily, I roll along, roll along, roll up, up.
Golly, that was a close shave.
Hey, you, what's the idea of cutting me off?
Sorry, mister, but no harm done.
No thanks to you.
Now, wait a minute, mister. I never touched you.
Because I pulled off the road. Look where I am. A few more inches and I would have turned over in the ditch.
I said I'm sorry.
Sorry? You'd be a lot sorry if you turned my car over and killed my wife and daughter.
Joe, please, don't make a scene. Control your temper.
I'll keep out of this, Mary. Yeah, take it easy, mister. It was my fault, but I'm not a road hog, a reckless driver. I've never had a serious accident.
Yeah, you're lucky, but from the looks of your fenders.
Well, everybody gets scratches and dents.
And it's always the other guy's fault to alibi Ikes like you.
Joe, please, nothing happened.
Well, I like to make something happen. Teach this guy a lesson.
Now, look here, no need to get tough. I said I'm sorry.
Sorry, huh? Of all the misused words. You know, I'd like to knock
you. All right. What's the trouble? What happened here?
Officer, this guy deliberately cut me off and forced me off the road.
I've admitted it was my fault, officer. I said I'm sorry and there's no damage done.
From the looks of it, no thanks to you if it's true. Let's see your driver's license.
I'll bet you find plenty of violations on it, officer.
Here you are, officer. Now, I resent this man's calling me a reckless driver.
And I resent being forced off the road, almost turning over in the ditch. My family almost killed by a careless fool.
Who's a fool? Why, for 2 cents,
hold
I'll take
it,
your...
Hold it, both of you. You want to make a complaint, mister?
Yeah, if it'll teach this guy a lesson.
All right. You can make it to the judge in traffic court tomorrow morning.
Oh, now, wait a minute, officer. Can't we settle this here and now?
Don't try bribing me, Smith. I'm giving you a ticket on a charge of reckless driving.
Henry Martin, your charge was speeding in a restricted zone. $50 or 10 days. Next case...
William Smith.
All right, here, sir.
Oh, is this the case you're interested in, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, why have you singled him out? The charge is reckless driving. There's no collision, no one injured.
Well, because he's a good example of the average careless driver who's never had a serious accident and doesn't believe he ever will have one.
Yes, I get dozens of them every day.
Excuse me, Your Honor, but I'd like to plead guilty and pay my fine.
Just a minute, Smith. Before I deal with your case, I want you to meet a friend of the court. Steve Wilson of the press.
Wilson of the press?
Yes.
The paper that's been running the reckless driving campaign?
Yes, Mr. Smith, and I'd like to be a friend of yours as well as the court's.
Why pick on me? I didn't do any damage, hurt anybody. Never had a serious accident.
According to the arresting officer, you came within inches of one last night.
So I suppose I'm going to be the goat of Wilson's newspaper campaign with pictures of me, my family, my car, my home.
That depends on you, Smith.
What do you mean, Your Honor?
Your offense is not so much a momentary lapse of care, which is a human failure. But to quote the arresting officer, a stubborn refusal to consider yourself a careless driver, in spite of the record on this license. Passing through red light, crossing double line on dangerous curve, collision due to faulty brakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. Why single me out? What's Wilson doing here on the bench with you? Am I going to be tried in his newspaper, made the laughing stock of my community, held up to ridicule?
No, Mr. Smith. As I told you, Steve Wilson is here as a friend of the court.
Well, what's that got to do with me? Why single me out?
Mr. Wilson has one simple request of you, Mr. Smith.
What's that?
Explain it, Mr. Wilson.
I'd like to have just 2 hours of your time, Mr. Smith.
What for?
To convince you that you are a reckless driver.
I'm not a reckless
driver. Potential killer at the wheel of a deadly weapon.
I am not. I'm a good average driver.
Exactly. And because you represent the average driver who's never had a serious accident and doesn't believe he ever will, I would like 2 hours of your time.
To do what?
I want you to come with me.
Where?
On a little trip that I hope will change your dangerous state of mind, make you realize the extra responsibility anyone takes when he touches the wheel of a car.
Oh, now, look here, Your Honor. I'm a citizen. I have some rights. Do I have to do this?
No, Mr. Smith. You have every right to refuse. But this court is in complete accord with what Mr. Wilson's paper is trying to do. And I now give you the choice of going with Steve Wilson for 2 hours or a fine of $50 or 10 days.
All right. Where are we going?
Well, let's call it the journey of a modern Scrooge.
With photographers and reporters, I suppose.
No, not one picture or one line will be printed in the press, Mr. Smith, without your permission.
All right. But you'll never convince me I'm a reckless driver. When do we start?
Meet me at the office of the Big Town Illustrated Press at 10 o'clock tonight.
Thus, fighting editor Steve Wilson makes a deal with a man who might be any of us who drive a car. And for the result so important to all of us, whether we walk or ride, we'll continue in a moment. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
And the cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. So remember, Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner. Stops BO as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Because of its purifying ingredient, Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that brings on BO.
Yes, and it's mild. Safe even for babies' tender skin.
No wonder Lifebuoy Health Soap is used in the homes of 40 million Americans.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner. Keeps you fresh and attractive. Protects you as no other leading soap can. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson's headline story of a crusade against reckless driving, captioned Death at the Wheel. With Bill Smith, an average, careless driver, sentenced to go on a modern Scrooge's journey in the hope of convincing him that he is a dangerous driver, Steve and Lorelei Kilburn, one of his ace reporters, are taking Smith to a public institution in the cab of a friend of Harry the Hack.
Hey, Mr. Wilson, Miss Kilburn, why are we going out to...
Don't say it, Joe. We want Mr. Smith to be convinced of his own free will.
You're wasting your time. Nothing you can show me will convince me I'm a reckless driver, just because I've had a couple of minor accidents.
We're not going to try to convince you, Smith. Just let you see for yourself.
Okay. The judge said I only had to stay with you for 2 hours.
I think that'll be time enough.
Then I'll be free of that reckless driving charge.
I hope so.
And remember, you don't print my picture or a line about my arrest without my permission.
That's right. That's the deal.
Thanks. And I'm getting off easy. Where are we going first?
You'll find out in a few minutes. Oh, the side entrance is in the next block, Joe. We won't be long. Pull up and wait.
Right, boss. And as a guy who has to drive and keep out of accidents to make a living, I hope you can sell this gent a bill of goods.
Well, arguments and facts are no good, Joe. To paraphrase a phrase, convince a careless driver against his will, and he's a reckless driver still, end quote.
Yeah, this is it. Come along, Mr. Smith. This is the first stop.
You want me with you, Steve?
No, Laurel, I come in and get on a phone. I've made arrangements with the city police and Parkway Patrol to give us the time and place of our second stop.
Where will you be if I get the word?
In the superintendent's office.
Hey, what is this place? Looks like a public building.
It is, Mr. Smith.
What's the idea?
I want you to meet an authority on reckless driving. Come on, Mr. Smith. Let's go. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening. This is Mr. Smith, and he would like to hear your lecture on driving, Professor.
Oh, yes.
Make it short, Prof. Wilson hasn't much time to convince me I'm a reckless driver.
Oh, it's quite short to the point.
Well, skip the facts and figures. My insurance agent stuffed me with them when he tried to sell me an accident policy.
Oh, but you misunderstand, sir. I lecture on how to become a reckless driver.
What?
Yes. The rules for reckless driving are quite simple. First, you must have a car. The more powerful, the better. But any car will do. Be sure the brakes are faulty.
Wait a minute.
No, we haven't much time, and bad tires are a tremendous help. Also, only one headlight. Of course, if you must have two headlights to see your victim, be sure to use your brights and blind him so that he can't see you.
Well, look here, Wilson. What kind of joke is this?
This is not a joke.
Exactly, Mr. Smith. Or is it Brown or Jones? It's such a common name. I'm somewhat absent-minded.
It's Smith. And I'll say you are.
Yes. Being absent-minded helps, too, especially on a crowded highway in fast-moving traffic. Just think about your income tax. Flip one car and your chances are excellent to bag a dozen victims.
Wilson, I didn't come here to be kidded.
You're not being kidded.
Quite so. And now, for other good places for reckless driving, illustrated by my chart.
What chart?
Oh, dear, misplaced him again. But no mind. Any blind curve is perfect hunting for victims. With luck, you may get a busload of school children.
Wilson, I've had enough of this gag.
Not unless you want to break our agreement and pay your fine.
Yes. Don't mind fines. Money is cheap. But life is cheaper. And any crossroad is a happy hunting ground. Don't stop. The other fool may not either. That makes it a sporting property.
What do you hope to gain by this, Wilson?
That remains to be seen.
Yes. Don't be convinced by slogans, Brown. Or is it Jones?
Smith.
Oh, yes, Smith. Don't believe that stuff about a rolling ball being followed by a running child. It's silly. Prove it. Win a reckless driving prize. A school block or a play street is the best. Pin a child on your bumper and he'll give you a ribbon for your chrome work dyed red with blood.
Listen, you, whoever you are, I've had enough of this.
Yes, quite so. My time is almost up. Only one more point. Glasses. If you need glasses, don't ever wear them when driving.
Sorry, Professor. It's time for your next lecture.
Oh, yes. I'm late again. There's never time enough. I must go. You'll excuse me, I'm sure.
Thank you, Professor.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, Professor. Let's go back.
Yes, we must go. There's never time enough. So little time in life. So much in death. Goodbye, gentlemen. Goodbye.
All right, Wilson, who is that goof?
He was a professor of history at a famous university.
What is he now, besides being nutty as a fruitcake?
An authority on reckless driving and fatal accidents.
How'd he get that way?
He started out like you, refusing to believe that at the wheel of a car, carelessness and recklessness are one and the same.
What happened?
He caused an accident. Killed his wife and two children.
Why? Oh, wait a minute. That guard. What is this place, prison?
In a way, yes. A prison of the mind, Mr. Smith.
A nut house. Asylum.
A mental hospital, Smith.
And the professor?
An inmate. And maybe for the rest of his life.
Poor guy. But that doesn't prove I'm
a reckless... Just a minute. Come in. I didn't expect this to convince you.
Steve.
Yes, Your Honor.
Parkway Police Headquarters just got a patrol car flash and a bad accident on Long Hill Curve.
Yes, I knew there would be one somewhere every hour. All right, Smith. If a living ghost of past folly doesn't convince you, perhaps the sight of the present and a preview of your own possible future will do it. Let's go.
Hey, boss, Miss Kilburn is my friend Harry the Hackett says.
Say it, Joe, and as we would say to Harry, get us to the bottom of Long Hill Curve as quickly as the law allows.
Right. We're only about a mile from there now. Are we going to show Mr. Smith some of them slabs?
Later, Joe. There's been another accident there just a few minutes ago.
Holy mackerel. Doesn't anybody believe in signs? Look at them along here. Slow. Steep hill. Curve.
Well, some drivers would rather look at the scenery, Joe.
Well, if this state would spend more money on the roads and less on signs, there wouldn't be as many accidents.
Not proven, Mr. Smith, but I promise not to argue with you.
Long Hill Curve coming up, Mr. Wilson. Hey, red blinker lights off the road on the right.
There's probably a wrecking car or an ambulance. Pull off the road, Joe.
Oh, there is an ambulance, Steve. Somebody must be hurt.
Yipes! Look at that wrecked jalop wrapped around that tree. Somebody must have got it, sure.
Yes, they're putting someone in the ambulance. Come on, Mr. Smith.
Now, wait a minute, Wilson. What's the point of rubbernecking on somebody else's bad luck? I've never stopped at the scene of an accident in my life.
This is more than rubbernecking. You made a deal with a judge 2 hours with me or $50 for 10 days.
All right. But you wasted an hour.
All right, I hope not.
Steve, there's a trooper coming this way.
Sorry. Move on, please.
What'd I tell you, Wilson?
Wilson? Are you Steve Wilson of the press?
Yes, officer. Your headquarters notified us of this accident.
Oh, yes. We got the message you'd be here in a few minutes. What can we do for you?
Nothing, officer. Now, don't let us get in the way.
Anybody seriously injured?
Yeah. Kid got it bad in that sedan wrapped around the tree.
A child? Dead?
No. They're putting her in the ambulance. Want to get some pictures?
No, no pictures. How did it happen, officer?
Well, the sedan got sideswiped by that convertible over there. Southbound over the double line. The sedan went out of control. Crashed into that oak.
What about the driver of the convertible that caused the accident?
Oh, she's over there in the patrol car. Nice woman. Not a scratch, but hysterical. Never had an accident before. Admits it was her fault. Didn't slow down for the curve. There goes the ambulance. Oh, can't they read signs?
That ambulance driver is in no hurry to get to the hospital.
Well, the doc says there isn't much use.
Wilson, let's get out of here. Let's get on with it.
No, there's something over there under that tree I want to show you before we go, Smith.
All right, show it to me and let's go. You've less than an hour left.
I think that will be time enough. Come along. Would you lend me your flashlight, officer?
Sure. Who's this guy, Mr. Wilson?
Just a driver paroled in my custody for 2 hours for a traffic violation.
Oh, yeah. I made the pinch. He cut in on a guy and almost forced him into the ditch.
Nothing happened, officer. Nobody got hurt. You know that.
You're just a lucky guy, mister, but don't bank on it lasting, or you'll draw yourself a ticket to the morgue.
Please. Please, officer. That poor child. Please drive me where they're taking her. I've got to do something to help. To help.
Ah, take it easy, lady. We'll be going in just a minute. As soon as my partner gets here. Hey, Jack. She wants to go to the hospital.
Oh, just a minute, Mr. Wilson.
Please. I must do something. Get the best doctors. Anything. Anything. Everything.
Go ahead, officer.
Okay. Keep the flashlight if you need it, Mr. Wilson. Let's go, Pete.
Thanks. I'll return it to you later tonight.
Please hurry. There may be so little time. So little time.
It's quiet here now, isn't it, Smith? A moment of carelessness. A clash of steel against steel. Man's triumph of engineering against nature's unyielding oak. The frantic efforts to mend and make amends. And suddenly, except for twisted wreckage, peaceful silence. As if it had never been.
Save that for an editorial, Wilson.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to preach. I was just thinking out loud.
Well, show me what you've got to show me and let's get away from here.
They're right over here, Mr. Smith.
They?
Yes, haven't you noticed them along the roads? Wherever there's been a fatal accident?
No, what?
Little white slabs with names and dates and the facts of each death at the wheel.
We call them symbolic cemeteries. There's one. Throw the flashlight on it, Steve.
Yes. Mr. and Mrs. James Hogan died here New Year's Eve, 1948. Cause intoxication.
I don't drink.
The next one says Albert Morgan died here, blowout while speeding.
I don't speed.
And the next one says Nick Ferreira and Nora Green, age 17, died here. Cause one-arm driving, believed to have been kissing.
The kiss of death.
Oh, stop it. I've had enough.
I know you mean well, but I don't do these things. Drink, speed, neck. I've never had a serious accident, and I'm not going to have one. Let's get out of here.
No, wait, Mr. Smith. Look at this last slab.
All right. So what? There's nothing on it.
No, not now, but tomorrow it may bear the name of that child in the ambulance. Or you, or yours.
No, it won't happen to me. Let's get out of here.
All right, Mr. Smith, but you still owe me 1/2 hour of your time.
All right, let's get it over with. Where are we going?
To a place where everyone who drives a car should go before they're taken there. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you come with us? I think it will be worth your while when in a moment we rejoin Steve Wilson in tonight's timely story. Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Doctors have proved it.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared results. They found that Life Boy, with its quick, rich, purifying lather, cleanses and protects better than any other leading soap. And Life Boy is milder, too.
So bathe with mild, refreshing Life Boy every day. Remember, Life Boy gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Buy Life Boy right away. And now, back to Big Town and Steve Wilson's timely and dramatic story on reckless driving, captioned Death at the Wheel.
This is the children's ward, Miss Kilburn. Gentlemen.
Are you sure it's all right for us to go through?
Yes, if you'll be quiet. It's late, but most of them are asleep.
All right, Mr. Smith. 5 more minutes and you're free to go.
All right. And I thought I was getting off easy being paroled in your custody for 2 hours.
You are getting off easy, Smith. I could have taken you to the morgue.
Will you step inside the ward, gentlemen? I want to close the door.
Yes, please lead the way, nurse.
Not all these children are victims of auto accidents, Mr. Wilson.
Just point out the ones who are, nurse.
The little girl in the next bed on the right, in the tractions, hit by a truck. Intervertebral rupture. A severe spinal injury. She may not walk again.
Mommy? Mommy, when can I go out and play? Please, may I go out and play? Please?
The next bed on the left is an amputation case. Car turned over. Father needed glasses, I believe. That boy has just been told he's blind, knocked down in front of his school, according to our admission report.
Wilson, get me out of here.
It's only a little farther to the other door, to the reception room.
Get me out of here.
That child behind the screen is dying. There's nothing we can do.
Wilson, in the name of heaven, get me out of here.
Steady, Smith. Open the door, nurse.
Very well, Mr. Wilson. Shall I get Mr. Smith something, a sedative?
No, no. No, I'll be all right. I'll be all right in a minute. In a minute.
Will that be all, Mr. Wilson?
That's all, nurse. Thank you.
But, doctor, isn't there anything you can do?
Mr. Wilson... That woman, she's the one who caused that accident on Long Hill Curve.
Yes, they brought her victim here, but this I did not arrange.
Doctor, please, try. Get specialists. Do everything you can. It's my fault I was careless, reckless for just one moment. If anything happens to that child, I'll never forgive myself. Never forget. Never drive a car again. Never, never, never.
I'm sorry, madam. Everything that could be done has been done. But neither tears, nor money, nor the best medical skill in the world will help. The child is dead. I'm very sorry.
Dead? Oh, no. No. Wait. Wait, doctor.
Wilson, listen to me. We made a deal.
Yes, and your time is up. You can go.
Go on, Smith. Get out of here. No, wait. I've been a stubborn fool. Now I see what you've been driving at. It only takes one careless moment to make a reckless driver.
You made a deal with me. I'll make a deal with you.
Yes? What is your deal?
Go ahead. Play up my case. Take pictures, all you like. Use me as Exhibit A in any campaign you run to convince folks like me that death is always at the wheel of any car.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you have just heard speaks for itself. And now we'd like to have you hear from a man who lives with this problem every day of the year. Ned H. Dearborn, president of the National Safety Council, direct from Chicago.
Friends, you have just heard a remarkable radio drama. Lever Brothers deserve great credit for thus trying to help reduce the traffic toll in the United States. Few people realize that traffic accidents have taken nearly 1 million lives since we, as a nation, began to keep traffic death records. That was in 1905. In that year, motor vehicles were involved in 400 deaths. Last year, the toll was 32,000. And in 1949, smash-ups in which injuries will be suffered will average one a minute, unless every citizen accepts personal responsibility for the safety of himself, his family, and his fellow citizens. I sincerely hope each of you will accept that personal responsibility. If you do, there'll be far fewer funerals in 1949 and far fewer heartaches. So be careful, Mr. and Mrs. America. The life you save may be your own.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dearborn. And now, before hearing about next week's big town adventure, here are Steve Wilson and Lorelei.
Friends, if you haven't entered Lever's sensational $50,000 travel contest, better hurry. Would you like to explore Paris and London, see Cairo, visit Honolulu and other famous foreign cities? Now, this contest is your chance to win the vacation of a lifetime.
Just imagine, friends, you can win a round-the-world trip for two with all travel expenses paid, or choose $10,000 in cash.
Yes, and there are second prizes, too, 15 of them, with an all-expense trip to Europe for each winner. Or $2,500 in cash, plus 400 other prizes of $10 each. It's easy to enter, but you must act soon. Finish this statement in 25 words or less. I like Bath-Size Lifebuoy because... Send each entry with a box front from Bath-Size Lifebuoy to Lever Tour the World Contest, Box 1, New York 8, New York. That's Box 1, New York 8, New York. Only residents of continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii are eligible. Get a free entry blank with complete rules at your store right away. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you another hard-hitting racket exposé captioned The Prisoner's Song. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting editor Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Collin as Lorelei Kilburn, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling,
"Extra, extra, hear all about it! The story of Steve Wilson and a headline story of The Prisoner's Song, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra."
Lever Brothers Company have amazing news. New 1950 Rinso with Solium. It's here a year ahead of time. New 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. The sensational new washing action of 1950 Rinso gets white clothes whiter than new, washable colors brighter than new, and keeps them whiter, brighter than any other soap. Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Get new 1950 Rinso at your dealers now.
Be sure and be with us again next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Casey Allen, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to hear more from Escape or Big Town, more from the Relic Radio Show and all the other podcasts, just visit the website at relicradio.com. You'll find everything listed there. And if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, give that donate button a click. Thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.